Hollywood is rated LGBT radio, starring your host, Rob Watson!
Yes, here we are again with another episode of Rated LGBT Radio, and I am your host, Rob Watson. Today we are unveiling yet another new film that is hitting the United States. Very, very excited about this one. The film is called Jose, and it is an incredible film, and it's depicting the story of a working class young man in Guatemala, and it is so authentic to the working class experience in Central America. It was made with the utmost care by the writer, director, and producer. They kept everything real, not staged, wanting to give the really deep, personal, sort of firsthand experience of what it is like to live in Guatemala and other South American countries where there's a lot of poverty, a lot of evangelical philosophy, and kind of an oppressive environment to be in, especially one for a young gay man, and what that experience is, both coming out, coming to terms with one's sexuality in that environment, but also with the overlay of today's hookup technology, which is as prevalent there as it is in the United States. So our guests today are going to be George F. Robertson, who is a writer and producer of the film, and a very special guest, and Enrique Salanik, who is the star who plays the title character, Jose, and has had the extra experience of being banned from coming into the United States by the Trump administration. So we're going to find out about both his film experience and everything about playing this wonderful character and the embarrassing experience that our country has exhibited by not allowing him to come in to promote this really incredible film. With that, I'd like to bring on board my co-host, Brody Levesque. Brody, how are you doing today?
Hey, Rob, good afternoon, and I am so looking forward to speaking to George and Enrique about this film. I had an opportunity to watch a screener of the film. I thought it was outstanding. It opens tomorrow in Los Angeles. It opened on January 31st in New York. This is a film that I truly believe a lot of folks, even outside of the LGBTQI community, particularly in our ally community, need to go watch, and they need to have, you know, an understanding of just how tough it is. And the overlay, I think, to this film, of course, is the oppressive nature and policies of the Trump administration, with the Remain in Mexico policies that they've had, with the issues that we've had with the LGBTQI caravans from Guatemala, from Honduras, being either stopped at the border or once they're across the border, particularly the trans folks being, you know, put into detention facilities and then essentially just lost there in the system forever. And it's just kind of a mosaic of the difficulties that go into all of this. And I think, and of course, we're going to talk to Enrique and George. But I'm going to give the director a shout out. I think Lee Chang did an amazing job with this picture. The filmmaking I thought was brilliant. And I'm really, really excited to talking to these two. And hopefully, I think, you know, once it opens in wider release after the Los Angeles premiere, I urge our listeners and our allies, please go see this film. It really is that good. Speaking of the Trump administration, yesterday, the United States Senate voted to acquit the president of both articles of impeachment. The president took a what could be loosely termed a victory lap today in the East Room of the White House, where he essentially more or less thanked everyone who had participated in what he sees as a victory over what he calls the impeachment hoax. And then, of course, he laid into the media, my profession, he laid into the Democrats. And every awful nickname that you can think of, he applied to people that he considers his quote-unquote enemies. And it just wasn't a good time. On that, I'm going to add a personal comment to my broadcast brethren in Atlanta and New York and Los Angeles. Why you guys didn't cut away from that and just treat it as a news story is absolutely mystifying to me. That was a campaign event in the White House. It was foul, and I'm sorry, guys at 30 Rock, 57 Avenue of the Americas, at CBS, you folks at CNN in Atlanta. Yeah, you know what? You guys blew it. And with that, I'll throw it at you, Rob.
Okay. Thank you, Brody. We will veer away from Washington and return our focus to Guatemala. And I'd like to bring on the show right now the producer and co-writer of the film, Jose, George Roberson. George, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brody and Rob. Great to be on. Thank you. Lots to talk about.
Yeah, yes. No, it's incredible film. Now, you have won numerous awards in various film festivals already. We have the Academy Awards coming up on this week. Will you be qualifying for next year's Academy Awards?
That is a good question, and I don't actually know the answer to it.
I was just wondering, because when I saw your film, it reminded me not so much in story, but in the immersion in the environment and the culture of the film Roma, which did pretty well last year at the 1999 Academy Awards, and showing that cultural experience. So anyway, hope somebody's working on that, because you deserve to be part of that horse race. Absolutely. So can you take us back on where did this film come from? Where did this brainchild come from for you guys?
Well, so three and a half years ago, in August of 16, we had decided over myself and Director Chung had decided over some months, you know, before that, that we were really dissatisfied with what was going on in the U.S. And so we decided to leave the country, sell out everything, and take, you know, sell our condos and car, you know, that kind of thing. And go to Latin America with the purpose of a listening tour, a listening and looking tour, and then to make a movie that would return to some sense of reality. And so the film Jose is a result of that.
So that's just an interesting journey for you guys to with what has happened in America, that. Because so many people did threaten to leave, but didn't. But you guys actually did it and went to the place that, unfortunately, our government, or many in our government, has actually vilified and been demeaning to. So it's actually kudos to you guys for getting into that. What prompted the idea of this particular film and this storyline?
Right. Well, so we're not, we're not like industry guys. We're artists and we're academics, and so it's really a project of art and of the Academy, and with social justice in mind, and so that's how we wound up in Guatemala, because we researched in 11 other Latin American countries first. Around 20 of the largest cities, and we wound up filming in Guatemala for a number of different reasons, but not the least of which is that, on the one hand, all these things that we're talking about, a lot of these problems, and are probably worse in Guatemala than in most of the other countries, but in the meantime, Guatemala also has youngest population in all of the Americas. So on the one hand, there's these really bad problems, but on the other hand, there's all these young people with incredible hope and incredible skills and incredible desire. But what there isn't is opportunity. And so when we rolled in town saying, you know, that we wanted to make a movie, you know, and these were our ideas and we wanted to build up the team, you know, all the young people, everybody wanted to be in. And so we got the best of the best, you know, for everything. Now, we did go to a lot of other countries first, heard a lot of interesting stories, you know, met a lot of good people, but nothing like the kind of synergy that we needed, which we found very quickly in Guatemala with just the desire and the effort and the skill of the young people.
Wonderful. Well, with that, I'd like to bring on one of those young people right now, who is the lead actor in your film and the star, Enrique Salonik. And Enrique plays the part of Jose. Enrique, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you all tonight, this afternoon.
It is thrilling and an honor for us to have you here. And I'm really feel deeply apologetic the treatment that you've received in trying to get to the United States to promote the film. That's unconscionable. Why don't we start with that? What has happened with that, with you trying to come in and just to be here to promote it?
Well, since the film Jose was going to be premiered in the movie theaters in the United States of America, I was invited by the film production distributor company Outsider Pictures to present Jose around the many cities in the U.S., which started on New York City this past January 31st. But when I applied, basically what they told me was that I could misuse the visa and that I'm a flight risk because I don't have enough ties to my country, which was very confusing to me at the beginning because I graduated from college in Westminster College, which is located in Fulton, Missouri for 4 years. Then I worked for a while. And then I decided to come back to Guatemala because I wanted to share my experience and give back to my country. And so I just wanted to present the movie to Jose and then come back to my country, keep going on with my projects. So that's why I found it very confusing and disappointing at the same time.
Yeah, I find it ridiculous and awful. And I have no words for how little sense that makes. But let's focus on the film itself. What did you think when you first heard the project, and did you think you were going to get the lead character in it?
Well, when I heard from George and Lee, I was very excited because at that point I had already decided to do acting. Since I had my experience back in Canada a few years back. And so when I was here in Guatemala, I did my first movie called Days of Light. And from that movie, I went on to meet Jose with George and Lee. And what most called my attention was their energy and enthusiasm to do this project in Guatemala. And I was like very moved by but their proposal. And of course I thought, okay, we're in a very conservative country where a movie of this kind wants to be made, but needs to be made. And I say, okay, let's do it, because if we wait for Guatemala to be ready, I think the world is going to end first.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah,
really good point.
What is the distribution plans for the film in Guatemala itself?
So this is George.
Well,
I'll jump in.
Okay, sorry.
I'll jump in on that because I think Enrique doesn't know, because even I don't know, because things are evolving, you know, quickly and day by day shifting around. So there were concerns about premiering the movie in Guatemala, as Enrique was saying. It is a conservative country, and you know, there was questions about you know, was the country ready, and you know, was it a good time? And like Enrique said, if we waited for, you know, the perfect time, we might have waited forever. But what we decided to do was we decided to wait a bit and to build up the reputation of the film in other countries with audience and with media and with awards first, with the hope that it would be, you know, more accepted in Guatemala. And so I'm very happy to report that is what we did, and that's what happened. So, you know, it was in Venice Film Festival for the world premiere. It won Queer Lion. Then it has traveled now to over 50 countries. It's been in, you know, 80 festivals and 100 cities, you know, around the world. And has won many, many awards. Queer Lion was a big win, but also, for example, another very big win was in Mumbai in India. They have one of the largest queer themed film festivals with films from 160 countries. 43 countries and 163 films. And Jose was awarded the best script and the best film. So, after we had these experiences, then we decided, okay, now is a good time to go to Guatemala to show the film. And a really great, very experienced film festival right in Guatemala City had been expressing interest and desire to show the film ever since Venice. And so we worked out with them a very good plan to properly present the film, to properly honor Enrique and all of the Guatemalan cast and crew, you know, with good media, with a red carpet event, and then it turned out with two sold out megaplex theaters side by side. With a line of people waiting, you know, that couldn't even get in because there wasn't enough tickets. So our fears of unhappiness over the movie really did not happen, and so delighted to tell that story.
Let me hop in for a second. Go ahead, Rob. I had a question.
No. Go for it. Go for it, Brody. Hop away.
And I'm gonna because I have traveled to Guatemala as a reporter, because I'm very familiar with the country, and this is kind of both for you and Enrique as well as for you, George. The first thing is an observation. I loved the authenticity of the film in regards to dealing with the reality of a day-to-day routine. I thought it was critically important in the way that Lee managed to work the actuality of the routine into the film. From Enrique, you out there flagging down the passerbys for, you know, La Comida, to the way that the and I'm going to call her an abuela because she just struck me as an abuela, but the mama and the way that she, you know, goes to these places to, you know, sell, you know, the food and everything about it, just the authenticity of the reality for Guatemala just rang through. And Enrique, one of the things that I appreciated about your performance was it was almost like traveling with some of my friends at NBC News with a camera crew and a news crew and watching them film a documentary for broadcast. I mean, it had that feel to it. So that said, George, How was it to film in Guatemala? First of all, where were you in Guatemala City filming, or did you have another place that you filmed? And as you're filming, how was the reception? You know, obviously you can't do like the United States where you pull a permit and close an entire neighborhood down. So how was the reception to filming in Guatemala?
Well, so we were filming primarily in the city, in Guatemala City, up in the highlands, and you can see it's sort of cool there, and we were filming in the wintertime. And then we also did a shoot on the West Coast area in Mezatenango, and then we also did an eight-day shoot in the east part of the country in Izabal on the Caribbean coast region. And we had very good experience everywhere we went. People were cooperative. People were helpful. When we needed a lot of extras, you know, people kindly came out and volunteered their time and, you know, often sat around, you know, for hours waiting until it was their turn. And the Guatemalan government was also very helpful with particularly with supplying police to go around with us so that we would have an official presence of the police and you know also for our safety, because unfortunately the reality is that it is a violent country. It is a place with a high risk of for your personal safety.
True. Yes, I agree. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I really appreciated the a lot of the scenes where the it was so natural. I mean, so to Brody's point, it was like, you know, it was very much a day in the life, and it, you know, I was taken by the extra people in the scene, how completely authentic their behavior was, not just themselves, but it looked like, you know, you somehow got into this crowd of people that were just living their lives. And, you know, it took you out of the idea that you were actually even watching a movie per se. But I wanted to go back to the creation stages that you were going through. Enrique's performance he's beautiful. It's nuanced. He's authentic. You know, perfect for the film. How did you know? How did you find Enrique, and how did you decide he was Jose?
Well, so director Chung would be the best one to talk about that. But unfortunately, he's stuck on a plane on the way to L.A. right now. And so obviously couldn't be on with us. But you know, I was there and working on it, too. So what I'll say, which is different than what director Chung would say, but I met Enrique at the very first meeting, and in fact I was the one who scheduled the appointment for him to meet Director Chung and myself, and I was very impressed with him right away. And so here's the little story. So we were talking to a potential sound guy, and when Enrique arrived, we were in a coffee shop, and so I said, "Oh, you know, come over and sit down and join us. And why don't you take a look at this half-page synopsis about the story? Just, you know, see if it would be something that you'd be interested in." And so Enrique sat down, and in these kind of lounge chairs, you know, kind of sitting back reading it. And as he's reading it, you know, he's not lounging anymore. He's not sitting back anymore. You know, he's pulling forward, you know, more and more and more. Obviously, you know, he wanted to do it, and then was waiting in anticipation, you know, until it was his turn that we would be done with the sound guy. And, you know, so that's how it started. So, of course, nothing was decided at that moment, but it was a very strong, opening performance. And I was very impressed with that, and I'll always remember that. In the meantime, we did casting, and at first our associate producer, you know, scheduled a casting an open casting call. And I said, okay, well, great. You know, and how many people do you think we might have? And he said, oh, you know, a dozen, you know, maybe we'll get, you know, 25, you know, that would be really great. It turned out we had over 100 and we were absolutely overwhelmed. But in the meantime, Director Chung really did want to see a lot of people. So through the course of the production, he did see and consider more than 600 people from all over the country. So you can see that, you know, Enrique really, really stood out. Obviously, we couldn't be more happy with his performance. And we're shattered that he's not in the U.S., not so much to promote the film, you know, that would be great, but for him to be in the country, you know, to promote himself, because, you know, he should be in the next, HBO Latino, you know, South American film or Central American film, et cetera. With him not in the USA, it's a little harder. So, you know, thanks again to you guys to make the extra effort to have him on the air, you know, live from Guatemala. And so we're going to just keep doing, you know, every time, you know, we're sort of knocked down, we try to see it as some way, as an opportunity that we can turn things around, and we keep going. Because again, Jose is really meant to be a social movement, you know, so it's about love on the one hand, it's about struggle and problems in Guatemala on the other hand, but in the much broader sense, you know, it's about social, political, and economic problems that are not working all over the world for young people, for minorities, for women, for old people, et cetera. So this is our broader message. This is our broader agenda.
Yeah,
on that note, I'd like to ask Enrique something.
Go for it, Brody.
All right. Enrique, you did an absolute perfecto portrayal of a young gay man from that part of the world. And it was so authentic. Talk to me and Rob and our audience. Where was your inspiration? Because I got to tell you, and I'm going to say this over and over again, I felt like I was with an NBC camera crew filming. Okay, you did a really good job. I mean, when you were on the motorcycle, when you were, you know, in the intimate scenes, particularly the intimate scenes. But you know, the one thing that really struck me, Enrique, when you were with Tu Mama, that was perfect. I mean, that was so believable, so dead on. I could see the emotion in you. I could see exactly. Where did that come from? Do you mind telling us?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I don't mind. And during the filming time, of course, once I knew I was going to be working on this movie as the main actor, I took the liberty to talk to as many people and friends from the LGBTQ community in Guatemala and their friends. And so I had a chance to hear a lot of stories, most of them very, very harsh and some of them very moving. And I think the hardest part was to synthesize all these stories into Jose. But as we were working on the movies, Jose just flow with the filming, and in some way all those stories were in my head, were in me. I was carrying all those stories that I heard, and in some reason they stood up whenever they had to. So it was very important for me to talk and to hear all those stories during the filming time. So I think part of that was also the responsibility that I had during the movie of having that voice for so many other young people who don't have the chance to be who they are. And yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to quote one of Rob's sons. Okay, Enrique, you nailed it.
Good. And
thank you.
And to be, yeah. To be fair, my son did not actually make that saying up himself, but he uses it a lot. So yeah. So, Enrique, I wanted to take you back to George's story though of when you got the story perspective is in your hand, and you went from the relaxed, casual position to sitting up and eager. What was it that hooked you so strongly? And who is Jose to you? Who is the character of Jose?
Well, what I think motivated me to do this project when I was talking to Lee, to Cheng, and to George in that coffee shop, besides their enthusiasm and energy, I told myself, to be honest, I was okay. This is a very strong message, a very very important project to have, and I wasn't really sure if they knew how conservative Guatemala is, but after looking into the way they say things and how they communicate in their energy, I was like, okay, this is something that they know what they are doing. And I was like, that at that point, I was very sure of my orientation because I am very fortunate of having a very very supportive family. And I say, okay, Jose can be that person who doesn't have that voice, who doesn't have that support of their family, because mm-hmm. many people don't. And from those interviews that I had with friends and friends of friends, I had the chance to hear their stories. Some of them were kicked out of their houses. Some of them, the financial support was taken away from them. They were trying to make them normal, in I put that in quotation marks. I did see that I was very fortunate to have the family I have, and for that I'm very grateful. But not all of my friends and friends of those friends have that same opportunity. And when I saw this chance, I saw a chance to speak up for them, to give them a voice, because I think it was very important for Guatemala to have hope. And I think Jose has given them that hope and that strength, because we see him not suffering for loss or enjoying his happiness or falling in love, but we don't see him either. We don't see him crying to a point that he suffocates in his own world. Has to move on. He needs to be strong. And I think that's a lot of inspiration. That I think for me, it's very inspiring. And I'm sure it's very relatable, not only to me and not only to the LGBT community, because Jose has many, a lot of human emotions. And I think for that, Jose is very relatable to so many levels in the world.
Mm-hmm. And what part, what aspect of this part was the most difficult for you?
The most difficult part, I think it was to synthesize all those stories, especially the ones of falling in love or having that sense of loss or sadness. You know, how could I portray those emotions into the big screen? Because at the beginning, when I read the script, I thought, and I got to the to the intimate scenes, I was okay. how is it going to be made? And like before everything was done, like before the filming started. But when we got to those intimate scenes, Li Cheng was very, very subtle and smart about it, because he made us, so me and Manolo, who plays Luis, made mm-hmm. us get to know each other. And so we became very good friends. And to that point, those scenes, they just flow very smoothly and very nice. And I was surprised by it. You know, it's like, wow, okay, this just happened very like naturally. And at the end, I was I noticed that to synthesize those emotions was like where the hardest, you know, when he loses somebody, or when he falls in love, or when he's very happy, you know, because I think those are things that are very important to show that it's another side of the coin that is important to show for the LGBTQ community, not only the intimate scenes per se.
No, absolutely.
Good job.
Absolutely.
Yep.
George, you opened in New York. What has the response been?
Well, yeah, so we opened in New York on Friday, Friday the 31st, just a week ago. And we had a really overwhelming response there, overwhelmingly positive response. And it was at the Quad Cinema, which is, you know, iconic art house theater with four screens, just half a block from Parsons School of Design. You know, it's been there since the 70s. You know, lots and lots of premieres, important premieres there over the years. And director Chung was there. Of course, Enrique was supposed to be there also, but wasn't because of the problems we've touched on already with the visa. But director Chung was there, did five Q&As over 3 days. All of those were completely sold out. And then, you know, then there were other shows, open shows that were also very well attended. And the you know, in terms of the box office, you know, in terms of the numbers, you know, it was the box office was quite a lot more than sort of our highest hopes, because, of course, we do want to get money coming back in. This is a project that Director Chung and myself have financed until now exclusively from our own pockets, from the proceeds of selling our homes, as I mentioned at the top. So we are hoping to get at least some of that money to come back in, which, you know, would then help with a future project. And in the meantime, there's, you know, they have four screens. They're showing about six films, you know, rotating across those four screens. And some of those are international Oscar nominees, et cetera. And so very proud to report that Jose's, you know, box office was by far the largest, you know, for the weekend, far more than any other film that they have showing. So we're very
excellent.
Encouraged by that. Yeah.
Fantastic. Brody?
Well, one of the things that I think is kind of important here, George, is that in terms of wider distribution, once you leave the theaters and you start looking at other, you know, venues and moving the film forward, my experience with LGBTQ independent film is most recently some of the best successes have been moving it into venues like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime or one of these other venues. Have you guys entered into discussions with these folks to possibly move Jose into streaming?
Yes. Yeah, so that sort of thing is negotiated and handled by the U.S. distributor. So that's Outsider Pictures in Hollywood. Paul Hudson doing a great job, you know, with this kickoff in New York. And, you know, again, we're sort of newbies, you know, to the sort of industry part of it, because we're artists and we're academics, you know, only. And so that's why it's great to partner with, you know, with a top team, very experienced in this. And as I understand it from Paul, his strategy, the best strategy he felt with Jose was to start it in New York, start it in Chicago, start it in L.A., and start it in South Florida,
mm-hmm.
and then see about a wider release, as you mentioned, and glad to say now that it is going to be in at least a dozen major cities in the coming month or so. In the meantime, as you're mm-hmm. also suggesting, moving from that into a streaming situation where people could get it, you know, at home, you know, all over the place, would be the ideal next step. And so I know things are in the works, but not set to, you know, announce yet. So the important thing at the moment is, you know, for people that can, you know, to come out and see it in the theater.
I absolutely endorse yeah. that, and I will say this again to our listeners: please spread the word on this film, especially our Latinx and members of the LGBTQI community in places like Houston and places like Phoenix and otherwhere, San Diego. Get the folks out, go see this film. It is literally that authentic, and as Rob knows, I do not wax poetic about things, but this one, this one, it's a must see.
George, when will Brody just mentioned a bunch of cities that unfortunately the film isn't in yet. When will it get into, for example, Northern California and different areas like that?
Well, so it's booked into San Francisco, but the actual date and such has not been announced yet. But
great.
What people can do is they can follow on our Facebook, Jose the Movie on Facebook, and you know we're updating every day with what's going on, and they can jump in. 30,000 followers now around the world. They can also go to outsiderpictures.us/movie/Jose. And that has the chronological list of the cities, the theaters. You can click into, where to buy tickets. And so that's always updated also.
So, George, I wanted to and thank you for that. So, because that the where to find this is an important question for our listeners. But I wanted to take – we talked to Enrique about his incredible work on this. But yours also, you were co-writer of the film, and you guys kind of went through the same process that Enrique described in terms of researching and talking to many people, hearing many stories, many experiences, and honing them down to this one simple story. What was that process like, and what did you write that didn't make it in the film?
Uh-huh. Well, so, so there was a script that was originally done, 120 pages. And, the sort of rule and thumb of in film is, a minute a page, so that'd be a pretty long movie, too long. And in the meantime, our process in terms of the script is to write the best script we can and hone it down, but in a way to have that script to then throw it away, because we want to improvise and use intuition on the set. A lot of people think, you don't need a script at all. You just feel it and use intuition, from the get-go. That might work for somebody, but it definitely wouldn't work for us. Our process is to start with the best script we can. Enrique knew the script inside and out, but then that allows us then to have that as sort of a jumping off point. And because of this kind of chemistry and electricity of Enrique, Manolo, Ana, who plays the mother's role, and also with the team, you know, the cinematographer, the other crew that's on set, you know, people get an idea and then we can run with it. And in the meantime, just taking one really big step back, you know, my background is as an academic. And so I've been doing academic research on society, on culture, on cities around the world, you know, for 20 years. And so I bring that experience in 50 countries around the world. I bring that to this project. And in particular, I'm a post-colonial scholar. And what that means is that we work in countries around the world that have 200, 300, 400-year legacies of violence done on mm-hmm. the culture, on the country, by this footprint of colonialism. And a lot of people think, oh, well, when the colonialism ends, you know, boom, then, you know, then everything's okay in the world. But it's not like that. There has to be processes in place to overcome these hundreds and hundreds of years of violence that was done onto the place. And of course, Guatemala was a gross victim of these kinds of processes. And so I have a long history of working to contribute to undoing these things. And so this film is an instance of these types of efforts.
And it shows. And I have to say, I've talked to a lot of independent filmmakers and different people in Hollywood with and a lot of LGBTQ filmmakers, small independent films, people who were not successful in making their films, but going with an idea. And I have to say, yours comes from a whole different place of this cultural study and really a deep intellect behind the scenes of what appears to be, just to Brody's point, a simple day in the life type film, but it represents so much more than that. But I do want to ask you, as a writer, being a writer myself, I know what that birth process is. What of this film is not the study, the intellect, the motivation, the impetus of the film, but what part of this film is you personally? What is this film representing, your own blood, sweat, and tears?
Right. So we probably talked a little bit about, but you know, we went to all these countries. We did this listening tour. You know, we did this looking tour. We interviewed hundreds of young people, like Enrique. You know, when he was doing his direct research, we did that first. And when we started this, we had no idea, you know, to be in Guatemala. We had no idea for it to be to have an LGBT aspect. The basic idea was to return to some sense of reality. So that was one of our basic aesthetics. Now, in terms of actually writing this script and this story, we heard just some shattering stories. And Enrique was also talking about that. Just to pick out one, for example, I heard a story from a 17-year-old guy who had recently come out to his mother, a guy living in Guatemala, came out to his mother as gay. And she said, well, you know, that's okay. You know, it's only you and I. And, you know, we have to take care of each other. And, you know, I can accept that. But the real shame, the real pity is that you will never know true love in life. And we just could not let that stand. That you know, the idea being that somehow the love that homosexuals have and share with one another is somehow less than the love that heterosexuals have and feel and share, and that somehow it's on the level that our intimacy is not love, that our intimacy is something like an animal or something like that. And we just felt like we cannot let that idea stand. We must challenge that idea directly. And so, you know, among many other things, but this was one of the things we felt we really had to challenge and we had to really get right. And so I hope that we did.
I think you did.
Yeah. Well,
you really did.
Yeah, and ironically, that exact thing was said to me by my mother when I came out, just FYI, almost those exact words. So, yeah, that's incredibly universal.
Yeah, pretty much. Enrique, I have something that I want to ask you. What's the most important thing, okay, to you as an actor and as a young gay man in Guatemala that you want American audiences who see you act and who see your film, what's the most important message that you want them to take away from the film?
If you're feeling alone or that you're the only one having these feelings of loss or loneliness or even rejection, don't ever think that you are but yourself. There might be physical distance, but there is a whole worldwide community going through these experiences, and think about it and find energy. And like I said before, yes, this world is full of darkness, but you can find light if you look for it. And so, Jose, sure. I think, shows that light to you.
Agreed. No, I agreed. And that's absolutely brilliant, Rob.
Yeah, George, actually, I'd like you to answer that same question that Brody just asked Enrique. What do you personally, with all the work you've done, finding the right country, finding the right culture, the right environment, what do you want American audiences to take away from this?
Right. So you know, when we started this project, our idea was to go out and look and listen and to make a movie that we could build bridges, you know, that we could connect people. And that was 3.5 years ago. And it turns out that the last 3 years has been all about building walls and cutting people off. And so I think to us, the most important thing is get people out, see the movie, feel it, think about it, debate it, you know, talk about it. And, you know, I think it can reach, you know, far beyond, you know, sort of some niche as a LGBT movie. You know, I think that, that the Jose character is, you know, is a gay guy. But I think that his circumstance, is really not too different than a straight guy would be. A lot of the, you know, most of the same kind of struggles and repressions would be the same. And that's what I'm hearing from my straight friends, from straight audience, from straight allies. And also that people would really pay attention to the social, political, and economic level, because I really hope that people will see it in this context of a very broad situation that's not working, including right here in this country, where the social, political, and economic systems are not working for the clear majority of the people. And so the movie is is set in Guatemala, but it's very much about these problems. And, you know, we try to tell them in a very simple way. So that was one of the biggest challenges, was to have all of this backstory and all of these ideas and emotion and passion, but then to present it in a simple way, not like a telenovela, you know, which is common in Latin America with a lot of, you know, drama, but to show it really the way people live their life.
Wonderful. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both so much for being with us. I want to thank you for your work on this film. You know, obviously this has been a long time coming. One thing I want to ask you in our last few minutes, what should we have asked that we haven't asked you yet?
Any idea on that, Enrique?
Yes, I think you got me off. You caught me off guard, but I think just I would, I instead of answering the question, I would just like to invite my friends who are in the U.S. and I'm just also want to say thank you for all their support, because they are inviting their friends to go watch it in LA, in Chicago, and in New York. And so I am very moved by their support. So, and I think it's something that I really appreciate, because during my stay in the US was very, all my friends that I met there were very nice and kind.
Wonderful. And so wonderful. And George, can you give, so go ahead.
Yeah. So the question I would say, you know, is just about problems, right? So we had problems at every step of the way. And we really just tried to take every, you know, problem as somehow giving us a new opportunity. But probably our single biggest problem was that, you know, that we're academics, we're artists, we worked in different ways. The film looks different and feels different than what people are used to. And our single biggest problem was that the industry, you know, was either ignoring us or, you know, actively working to, you know, push us down because we're not in the industry. You know, and we were seen as, you know, unwelcome competition. And so this was our single biggest problem. And this is what we continue to fight every single step of the way. That's why, for example, your question at the top of our discussion about the Oscars, you know, that's an industry thing. And we're not industry. And so, you know, the truth is that we have no idea about it. And so, you know, we need people who can help, you know, help us reach the audience, help us reach the media, help us to reach campuses, to reach professors, to spark debate, to spark, you know, to bring about awareness. That's what we need.
Excellent. Well, we're doing everything we can to help you get that, and we wish that for you in a very big way. We are out of time. I want to thank you both for being on, and you know, Enrique especially calling from Guatemala. You guys are phenomenal. The film is phenomenal. I want to thank Brody. I want to thank our listeners. I also want to thank our sponsor. We are proudly sponsored by the Los Angeles Blade newspaper. And the LA Blade is the Los Angeles Metroplex's only weekly paper, and it is distributed in print and online, and you can find it at losangelesblade.com. Also, don't forget, Out in Santa Cruz, which airs Saturday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Pacific, or I mean 10 p.m. Eastern, and that you can listen to live stream on www.ksco.com. For Brody and myself, we will be back again next week with another riveting Rated LGBT Radio, and we can't wait to speak to you then.
You've been listening to Rated LGBT Radio!